This is Joe Gunkel. You're listening to H10 Hunching Tigers English News.
The year of the Tiger, the year of your Hanshin Tigers, which makes it the year of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray, and joining me from Paradise on Earth for this episode 148 on May the 1st, 2022 is Sanjay. How are you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. I'm doing well, and for good reason too, as you and I will cover a little while, but happy to be here.
Yeah, 10 days ago, I would not have been saying I'm doing well, but I am feeling mighty fine right now. We have got a great show for you all as we take a look at which of these Tigers teams is the real deal. The one we saw for games 1 through 25 or the one that we've seen in games 26 through 31. Strap in for a great ride because it's time to hit the rumors and news.
Rumors and news.
So my man, Jeffrey Marte, who has been out for pretty much a month now, which is most of the season, sounds like he will be playing in some farm games as early as this coming weekend. That would be May the 6th onward. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, happy that he's feeling good enough to see some action again. And I really hope that he doesn't like rush himself too much and get hurt again. I hope he comes back well and 100%.
My question is there space for him? Because Yusuke Oyama has done an outstanding job at first base, playing defense there. And also, it just seems like the hitters are finally figuring out what they need to do. So are they going to just throw him in there right back where he was, or are they going to give him time? That remains to be seen. Other good news from the farm. Hojo has been playing in farm games at long last. I believe he even batted fourth today. It was third or fourth anyways, but he is back, which means that he could be another guy that could come in and either platoon or at least be a viable option as a pinch hitter or off the bench later on in the season, possibly even sometime this month. Shall we continue with the good times with Oyokawa, our left-handed pitcher last year, who was outstanding in the out of the bullpen. He has started to throw bullpens down on the farm as well, which means that he is heading in the right direction. I still don't know how long it's going to be for him. Maybe another month, I would guess, just because right now he's just doing that. He's got to get in some game action on the farm as well. And then he's just got to find his spot when we need him up on the top squad. And another guy who has been away for a long time. Some of you may not even know his name. That would be Saiki, who had Tommy John surgery. I believe it was the 2020 offseason. So it's been a year and a half. He threw on the farm today again as a starter and went 5.1 innings and allowed 2 runs. So he is starting to throw deeper into games, and he could be a viable option out of the rotation if we need a spot start even later on this year. I know he is a development player, but they will gladly rid him of that third digit on his back if he keeps firing away on the farm.
If they have enough time to get him this new jersey, right?
Well, I mean, the Giants seem to have problems with that this past weekend where they had a triple digit on the mound. I didn't know they allowed that, because let's just go down a little bit of memory lane with a certain Haraguchi who kind of got his two digit number very quickly, very suddenly, and his jersey did not make it in time. And he wore Coach Yamada's jersey for his very first plate appearance. He wore number 82 and Yamada on his back. Anyhow, that's another story. But let's segue into from one TJ to the next. And this one is on the bad news side, or at least for now, it's bad news. This could be good news in the long run if everything goes well. And that would be Takahashi, whom we have been really hoping would come in this season and make an impact. You know, he did have the off-season elbow cleaning surgery, and obviously that did not solve the problem that he felt he had. And he says he wants to come back stronger than ever after TJ. It's looking like it'll be mid-2023 at the earliest, though, for his comeback.
They kind of did a good job of keeping this one under wraps for the longest time, right? I didn't know until he was discharged from the hospital.
Yeah, I don't know if they told the media to shut it or if they just kept it away from the media. But either way, yeah, none of us knew what was going on there. So speaking of pitching injuries, we can also add a couple of guys to that. And this is really unfortunate for the team. Ogawa, who had a couple of good starts over the past fortnight or so, experienced some tightness in his right elbow. He says it's not serious, but whenever I hear elbow and pitcher in the same sentence, I never believe that it's not serious. So he got deactivated. And another guy who has an undisclosed injury would be our pal Gunkel, who missed his start today. Whether that was good or bad is another story. For the Tigers themselves, it ended up being maybe a blessing in disguise. For Joe, we're hoping that he is coming back soon. The good news is he was not deactivated. So I feel like there's a chance he may end up pitching against the Swallows, although I have no source on that. And then a couple of little small ones. Oyama got hurt during this fortnight. The good news is he was not deactivated and he only missed a couple of starts and he was back in the starting lineup on Friday. So he played this full weekend, played a part in the Tigers action. We'll get to that in a bit as well. And another guy that got the call up, I guess kind of as the emergency backup in case Oyama's injury was serious, was our pal Haraguchi. The first call up of the season for him. I don't think he's been in a game yet, has he, Sanjay?
No, he hasn't. And they were saying like, well, why'd you call him up? Kind of like T-Ray sometimes says.
Yeah, for real. I mean, like, give him some action somewhere at least. I just don't get that. But anyways, that is not our Yano for this week. And we will get to the Yano later. But right now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on down on the farm.
Doing our best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see.
So the record, Sanjay, is 7-14-1, and that includes today's 4-3 victory. Good for fourth place. Well, not good for fourth place, but a 333 win percentage. That number sound familiar? It will soon. Okay. Let's talk about the good players down on the farm. We have got Ueda, who is batting 293 with an on-base percentage of 431 and a slugging percentage of 366. So for a little guy who is trying to make his way back up to the top squad, those are encouraging numbers right there. As for the pitchers, we have got a number of guys to talk about here. First of all, let's go to the COVID wing of the hospital and talk a little bit about Fujinami and Ito, who both got deactivated because of COVID. Fujinami on the 29th, that's Friday, threw two innings and struck out five against the Hawks. And then Ito pitched two innings yesterday, also against the Hawks. One hit, one walk, one strikeout, and one run. So I think the word is that they're going to need one more farm appearance each, and then they should be ready to be called up, assuming there are no issues and assuming that they've got their good stuff.
Well, and we'll be happy to have them back.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, how does the saying go again? You can never have too many arms, right?
There it is. Yep.
And those are two guys that we could definitely benefit from having either in the rotation or in the case of Shin-chan, he may end up back in the bullpen because, I don't know, we may have six guys now that can go.
I think we might.
Yes. All right, let's talk about a couple more guys down on the farm, the first of whom would be our buddy Keller. So today, I think he threw another scoreless inning, which means that on the farm right now, his record is 7 2/3 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, no runs against. So he's figured something out at least to get the farm boys out on other teams. Hitters.
Well, that's good. That's encouraging.
Yeah. And the thing is, there is space for him on the top squad because we're allowed to carry five guys and we've only got four right now. Right. So he could be on the bench for all games because two of the guys that we do have as imports on the top squad are starters. And so when they start, the other guy is not on the bench and then we still have four. So he could be there the whole time. The other guy we want to talk about is the one that we have raved about on a few shows. That would be Moriki, our first round draft pick from last year. He went five innings, pitched two hits against and nine strikeouts on the 26th. I believe that was a practice game, so it wasn't an official farm game, but it still counts as farm report. Looking good.
Feeling good.
Can't wait to see what he can do. And again, that's just another name, another arm that we have to look forward to if things go south for our pitching staff, which lately, as you're going to see real soon, is not the case. Okay, before we get into the recap, and let's thank some of our patrons. And just a reminder to you, if you want to join us on Patreon, the bonus material is rolling in and will keep rolling in as long as these Hanshin Tigers give us something to talk about. So I want to thank the Tokyo Swallows. We are going to beat you down during Golden Week, but thank you for your patronage nonetheless. I also want to thank Anita. I want to thank Zorni and William Schofield, who are on the Koshien Tour tier. I want to thank Ian Hadel, who is on the digital platform. And I also want to thank Joe out in Wakayama, as well as Jamie Owens, who is the owner of CentralEnglishOkayama.com. If you are out west from Kansai and you need some good English from a great teacher who loves the Tigers, Jamie Owens is your guy. CentralEnglishOkayama.com. So, Mr. Sanjay, last time that we talked, we predicted something bold for this Tigers team. I said they were going to go 8-4 during this stretch. You said, I believe, they were going to go, what did you say? Was it 7-3-1, 7-3-2, something like that, right?
Yeah, I think I had one tie in there and it was 7 wins.
Okay. So we were both very close, though. Let's cut to the chase. They went 7-4 with a rainout during this stretch. So they turned things around nicely. But after the first three games, I thought, no way am I going to be right or even close in my prediction, because we went into Yokohama where we love playing and we showed them that this year is not our year. We had a 4-run lead on Tuesday, the 19th. And that came thanks to Itoi and Itohara and Sato with a home run in this one. Knocked out their starter after 2 innings, but Nishi had some issues. Even though we should have won, they didn't have Austin in the lineup. They didn't have Maki in the lineup. But in the bottom of the second, fourth, and fifth, Nishi gave up some runs. And from the end of the second inning onward, we got only 2 hits. Lost this one 5-4. Should not have been a loss, my friend.
I agree 100%.
The very next day also should not have been a loss, my friend, because Ippei Ogawa was outstanding. 7 innings pitched, 2 hits against, 2 walks, no runs. Alcantara and Yuasa were also great, but our batters did absolutely nothing. We had 5 runners in scoring position chances, got 1 hit, but it was an infield single, so it did not score a run. And Hamachi gave up the walk-off solo home run to Soto in the bottom of the 10th. And that one was close to breaking foul, but it did not. So we lost 0-1, hoping to avoid the sweep on the 21st on a rainy day. And it looked good for a while there. Saito got the emergency start. This was because Ito and Fujinami were both knocked out because of the Rona. He gave up 3 runs, but then Onodera with a pinch hit grand slam to give us a 5-3 lead. Unfortunately, the rain was not our friend on this day. The game got called early, which I guess was maybe merciful because Baba came in and he just didn't have his stuff. His control was not there. I kind of feel like maybe the rain might have affected his grip on the ball because he just didn't have good control. We lost this one 7-5 and took the sweep in Yokohama for the first time in, well, longer than I've been a fan of the team.
Ouch.
Definitely ouch. So 0-3 so far in this stretch. Uh-oh, says I. We come home and play the Swallows, and oh, we love you, Aoyagi. Second start of the season, and oh boy, did we ever miss him. Complete game shutout, 3 hits against, 17 ground outs.
17?
Yes. So that means that like 10 outs were, and he struck out 7, I believe. So that means like three balls left the infield on him, or besides the 3 hits, yeah. So Oyama with a 2-run home run, Rojas with a 3-run home run, pardon me. And then Sato with 2 doubles in this one. And we had really good defense as well. Some really outstanding plays. So 6-0 win. And now it's looking good for us. This was like a very Hanshin type of game. The type that we had been hoping for from this team for ages. Because heading into this one, we were 3-19-1, I believe. Anyhow, we won that one, so 4-19-1, and then we lose our 20th game of the year in game 25. Another tough luck, 1-0 loss. This is our 4th in the past 2 weeks, I believe. Wilkerson was outstanding, simply giving up an Aoki solo home run in the bottom of the third. Other than that, he was great. As for us, we had our best chance in the top of the first with the bases loaded, one out. We did not score. And this was, as I said, the fourth 1-0 loss in the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever. But it was our sixth shutout loss of the year in 25 games. That's a bad look.
Yeah, and if just one hitter had come through in the top of the first with the bases loaded, the whole complexion of the game would have been different. Just like if the first game of the season against Yakult, we had won that one, the whole complexion of the season would have been different. It was a microcosm of the whole season.
For real, today. For real. And, you know, it didn't even have to be a hit. It could have been just like, you know, a broken double play type of thing.
Or a sack fly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't have to be an RBI hit, but we just needed something and we couldn't get it done. Okay. Well, that's the end of the bad news. That's the end of us bellyaching about Tigers losses, because guess what? The rest of the way, there were no Tigers losses. We won six straight to end this fortnight. And it started on Sunday, last Sunday, at home against the Swallows. Sato and Nakano with home runs in the top of the first, and Obata with his first ever home run. That was in the top of the eighth. And did I say this was at home against the Swallows? It was on the road, pardon me. But Nakano with two more RBIs, including a single and a sack fly. And Gunkel only went five innings, allowed two runs, but he got his first win of the year, which was well-deserved considering how he was a tough luck loser in at least two of his three losses.
Woo!
So there you have it. We win our second season series, right? Like, we beat the Giants 2 out of 3 just before the last podcast dropped. And now we won 2 out of 3 against the Swallows. That's a good sign. Oh, by the way, that win on Friday was our first road win of the year. So we were 0-12 in the new sweet road unis until then. But that has also since changed, because now we are 5-13 in those unis. So still not good, but much better. Okay, let's continue on. We come home, face the Dragons, and one game gets rained out. That was on Tuesday. So we've had a nice long rest. And Nishi, he gets the start on a little bit of extra rest. Serves up a run in the top of the first, but after that, it was all Tigers. Well, three runs scored, but good enough against the Dragons. So a 3-1 win. And then the next day, Akiyama makes his return, gave up a home run in the top of the second, but the team scrapped back. Bottom of the fourth against Ono, Nakano, and Teru and Itoi got hits. And then Yamamoto with a squeeze that turned into a hit. And then Sakamoto with a G6, a ground out too short. And Itoi with the sweet run and slide in home, giving us that third run. Hamachi, Alcantara, Yuasa, and Iwazaki were excellent to preserve Akiyama's five-inning, two runs against outing. Akiyama gets his first win of the year. He also gets the Heroes podium. So it was a feel-good, well, rain-aided series sweep for us at home.
Yay.
And, you know, we're feeling pretty good. We have won now at this point 4 of our past 5 games, but look out, we're going into Tokyo Dome and we're facing Sugano in the very first game. This was Friday night. It looked like, especially with the top of the second, we had the bases loaded and no outs, I believe, and we got nothing out of that. So I was very dismayed at that point. The good news is that Sato hit a massive 2-run home run in the top of the third, and that was the end of the feelings of dread. We had some defensive lapses in the, I forget which inning it was, but the Giants got a run back primarily because we just couldn't get outs. There was one error, but there were three miscues during that inning. Oyama with a home run on top of the eighth, which was nice insurance because in the bottom of the ninth, Okamoto hit a home run to make it 3-2, but Aoyagi went the distance again for the second straight game, 7 strikeouts. He also scored a run because he went 1-for-3 with a walk. So an outstanding game from Aoyagi, and obviously he was the hero of the game.
Man, did we miss him.
Yes, and it is great. He is 3-0. You know, when he missed opening day because of COVID, I thought, yeah, his dreams of 15 wins are gone, but he's already got 3 wins, and it's just the end of April. So he's still totally on pace. I mean, if he keeps throwing like this, there's no reason he can't do it. And can we get our man Aaron Wilkerson some run support? Yes, 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 we finally do it. Well, Wilkerson had a rough start, and I kind of had a feeling it wasn't going to be as good as his first two starts of his career because it's at Tokyo Dome against a really good Giants team in a home run friendly environment. Well, he gave up two runs in the bottom of the second. It was not home runs, but his pitch count was really high. He lasted just five innings, giving up the two runs. The good news is, well, he didn't get the win, but the team came back in the sixth inning to tie it. And then they got treated to a whole bunch of walks, plus a couple of timely hits in the seventh to get us six runs. And then Yamamoto, the former Giant, hits his very first home run with the Hanshin Tigers on this day against his old mates. And Watanabe, whom we got from the SoftBank Hawks, got his very first career win at age 30. So also very impressive.
Yay.
Sweep, 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 sweep. We've got Junya on the mound replacing Joe Gunkel, who was hurt, as we said earlier. And as I said, it was a blessing in disguise because we got treated to another awesome pitching outing. There was one mistake that Junya made, and it got tattooed to dead center. And other than that, he gave up just two hits. Here's the thing, man. In the top of the bottom of the first, pardon me, he gave up a double to the first second batter that he faced. And then, you know, the Giants cheer songs when they have chances. I hate their chants. You know what I'm talking about?
I hate the crowd noise.
And that inning seemed to last quite a while because it was just one out. And then he did get the next two outs without giving up a run. But it just felt like forever. And I thought, oh no, poor Junya. Like, this is going to be a hard outing for him if he's got to hear that music and those fans the whole night. But that was the only time all day that he put a runner in scoring position. He was the man, seven innings pitched, 91 pitches, struck out eight, gave up just three hits. So it was the double in the first, the home run in the second, and then one other single, which I kind of forget about. Our guys, for their part, they fought back in the top of the sixth with Itohara and Umeno RBI singles. Top of the eighth, Itoi got a two RBI single and Yamamoto with another two RBI performance on a single. And the top of the ninth, Shimada and Chikamoto both with RBIs. And so 8-1 win, series sweep at Tokyo Dome. But get this, bro, 21-6, we outscored them.
Yes.
You and I could have never predicted that.
Nope. Could not have.
And so, my friends out there, this Hanshin Tigers team, I can't believe I sound joyous about a team that is 10-20-1. Our win percentage, just like the farm, is 333. We are in sixth place. We are 2.5 games back of the Bay Stars, 9 back of the first place Giants. However, when you consider that was 13 back just a week ago, I'm okay with it. And this team is really starting to turn the corner and heading home, which is awesome.
Before I like where we're trending. I like how we're trending, and the trend is your friend.
Indeed, it is. And before we talk about this trend, as well as the last ugly one that left the terrible taste in our mouths, let's poke at the manager just a wee little bit.
Wait, what did you do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano! Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano!
So, man, it's tough to do this simply because we know that the team has just won 6 straight and 7 of their last 8, and they're starting to look much more like the 2021 Tigers than the ones that started this season 0-9 and 4-20-1. But actually, I'm going back to the very first game of this recap and of what's going on. And that is simply because we play the bunt game way too much. And actually, this has happened a few times throughout. Sometimes it's paid off, but very seldom. And I just feel like it's really predictable. But what happened was, I forget which inning it was, but it was earlier in the game. We had a chance to extend the lead, and he called on Sakamoto to bunt with our pitcher due up next. And so you're trading two outs, essentially, for one base, and then putting it all on Chikamoto to get a hit. I just think that is foolishness. And then later in the game, Umeno is up to bat. Not that he's a hot batter by any means this season so far, but Shimada's on first base. A great base stealer. And the Bay Stars have got their backup catcher in the game who is known for not being so good at throwing out runners. Why are we bunting? Why aren't we trying something daring? Especially because at this point, remember, our team is in a terrible slump. You got to try something outside the box. And bunting with Umeno in that situation was not. And by the way, both of those bunts resulted in how many runs? Yeah, you guessed it. 0. I know I'm saying this. hindsight is 2020, but I was saying it during the game too. Sanjay, you got anything for us?
Yeah, I do actually. And, you know, not that I don't agree with everything you brought up. I actually do agree with them. And as you point out, what was it? This was in one of the books that I read for Men at Work, I think, with regard to speed. You know, batters can go in slumps and so on. Players can be going a funk in the field and like make errors. But speed comes to the ballpark every day. Speed doesn't slump. So, you know, use it if you've got it. But my Yano this time around is just in general, the last few games when Marte wasn't around and Oyama was playing first base, just put Sato at third. Don't mess around with him. The guy's only in his second year in the pros. Don't play him at third and then move him to right field in the middle of the game and then expect him to make all the plays. That was one of the miscues, I think, that you wanted to point out that didn't result in necessarily an error.
Right.
But man, doesn't he have enough on his plate already, you know, trying to deal with everything he's doing? Just park him at third where he's comfortable and let him bat fourth and just don't mess with him.
Amen. Amen. No, I totally agree. I would love to see him at third. Part of the reason, and I sound like an idiot saying this today now that, you know, Itohara got his four hits today, but that would take Itohara out of the lineup or put him back to second base, which I don't love. But if you're going to use Itohara, I don't really like him at the hot corner simply because it does take some power out of the lineup. So my other beef, which I'm really considering doing a deep dive on at some point, is what is with the terrible use of Mel Rojas Jr.? Because the guy is second on the team in OPS. And I know that his batting average is fairly low, but he is being used so sparsely and so inconsistently. How is the guy supposed to get on a roll if you're not never even giving him two starts in a row? And a lot of these games that he's not getting starts, he's not even getting pinch hits. They're giving him nothing, man. So yeah. I just wish that they would like actually ride him for like a week and see what he can do.
Yeah, really. I agree.
All right, everyone. For the first time this season, it is time for us to name our players of the month.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger, your player of the month.
So we'll start, Sanjay, from the mound. Who have you got as your pitcher of the month for March, April?
To me, there's really no contest.
Who?
Mr. Blue Goat himself, Aoyagi.
The numbers I've got are 26 innings pitched in 3 starts, 3 wins, 16 hits, 3 walks, 20 strikeouts, and an ERA of
0.69.
Nice, we say. Okay, just for fun then, I'm going to pick two guys out of the bullpen because I think they're both worthy of mention. They're both southpaws like yours truly. That would be Watanabe, who got his first career win, as we mentioned earlier. 10 games played, 6 1/3 innings pitched. 4 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, and no runs on his tab. So
0.00 ERA, huh?
Came out of nowhere because he was cut by the Hawks. He was a development player when we signed him. And here he is contributing in 1/3 of our games so far. So thank you so much, Nabeji, for coming to the Tigers. And then also our de facto closer, who wasn't there by design, but has kind of been put there by default, but has done outstanding. That would be Suguru, right? Iwazaki with 9 1/3 innings pitched, 10 hits against, 10 strikeouts, 1 earned run on his plate. That came on opening day. So since then, he has been perfect for a 0.96 ERA. And I didn't mention this during the recaps, but the one game that he closed off against the Dragons, where he gave up the leadoff double, and a lot of people were starting to fear the worst. Man, those two backward Ks, he punched out the last two batters on absolutely outstanding pitches. Sent shivers up my spine. So those are my two.
He also gave a pretty funny podium after the game when he and Akiyama were on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I got any comments for Akiyama? Yeah, please go deeper into games from now on. Thanks. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, who is your hitter for the month and a bit?
I have two names, and you can go first if you like. I'll pick the other guy.
Well, I've got to go with Sato then. I mean, who else but Sato? Heading into today, or well, I guess today was May. So by the end of April, his numbers were 284 batting average, 339 on base, 552 slugging, 7 home runs, 17 RBIs, 17 runs scored, and 4 stolen bases, which ties him with Chikamoto for second on the team. So what's he doing wrong? Nothing in my eyes.
Well, and so Sato was one of the two names, obviously, that I was going to pick. And since you got him, I will pick the one with a number one younger than his, Mr. Yoshio Itoi, the 40-year-old, soon to be 41.
Yes.
His batting average is 296, even higher than Sato's.
Uh-huh.
He had 3 dingers. He didn't play every game.
Yeah.
He played in 24 out of 30 games, I think. But the man, he's unbelievable. And even today, which is not April, but he went and came as a pinch hitter. And did you see the shot that he made today? I couldn't believe that he was able to make contact with that low breaking ball when he was, fed nothing but heaters up until then.
Right. Yeah.
So guy's amazing. Props to him. I know we've ragged on him on his defensive effort, so on in the past. I take it all back. Ito, you the man.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time in his time with the Tigers that he has been completely healthy. Because he just looks like a different player. And, given how Kanemoto did at age 40 and even Fukudome did at age 40, like I wouldn't put it past Itoi to stick around another year or two. I think he could still do it. He is a physical specimen. And as long as he's healthy, he can produce, maybe not as a starter day in and day out, but as a spot starter and as a pinch hitter, I'm happy to keep him around a couple more years if he's going to keep hitting like this.
Same here.
There you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yoshio, for your outstanding action. All right. Let's jump into the hot topic.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So as alluded to earlier, this team started the season 4 wins, 20 losses, and 1 tie. Our offense was abysmal with 6 shutout losses out of those 20. And our pitching was also quite terrible, at least for a good long stretch, probably through 20 games. We were far and away the worst pitching team in NPB. But all that has changed. So since that 4-20-1 start, or even if we go to like, we can go to 3-19-1, right? So since then, we are 7-1. Right. So What is going on with this team in the last 8 games? Like did they change the water, or what is going on? Any thoughts on what has made a difference to this team? Why are we starting to win?
Well, I think there was definitely a mental element to the whole thing, right? The more the losses piled down, the more they were pushing and trying so hard to win that it might have taken them out of their game just a little bit. And what happened is Aoyagi happened. He came in, all of a sudden the pressure was lifted. That's what I think.
That is definitely a big part of it. I would say that like the mental side of things has been huge. So there's a couple things that I don't know what to make of just yet, but I will say this. I feel like the pitchers are starting to hit their spots a lot better than they were earlier in the season. And I would probably attribute that to them and not necessarily the catching or the calling of the game. But a lot of times when we were getting tagged for runs and for these fatal blows in earlier games, it seemed like our relievers were serving up some fat pitches. Maybe the other team just, predicted things just right. But as I kind of alluded to earlier with Iwazaki, hitting those spots, where, I mean, he was facing some good batters too that he struck out looking, and he painted the corners. And when you're going to do that, you're going to get those clutch outs that you need. And I don't think they were able to do that because I don't have the exact count, but how many games this season of these 20 losses were come from behind wins for the other team? A lot of them. And that's not to say that we let the hitters off the hook like they did their job and the pitchers didn't, because we all know the hitters were not doing their job either. But on these games that, let's face it, Hanshin is the type of team that is not going to blow the other team away 8-1 or 10-3 every day. right? Yeah, we did it this past weekend, but it ain't going to happen every single game the rest of the way. So we need to win those tight games when our offense is only able to muster a couple of runs. And we weren't able to do that because the pitchers weren't able to hang on in those tight situations. So I think them hitting their spots, I've just noticed a big uptick in that. But here's another one that I can see as making a difference as well. I don't remember at which point it was, but this team at one point ranked last in stolen bases this season in the Central. We ain't there anymore. We are tops because the team has started running again. So Sanjay, you and I think we talked about this, but in game one, both Chikamoto and Nakano got gunned down by Koga, a backup catcher for the Swallows. And I think that kind of just like took the wind out of their sails, as well as the team's enthusiasm for trying stolen bases, right?
That could very well be true. I mean, I remember we were commenting on it saying, no, we're okay with that. Be aggressive, get thrown out. That's okay. Keep being aggressive. And they weren't.
Yeah. So we got 19 now after today. And I think only 6 caught stealing, if I'm not mistaken. So even, you know, after that first day when we had the 2, you know, we've only been caught, we've only been gunned down 4 times. And just that extra drive to go for the extra base makes a huge difference. There were a couple of times that Chikamoto and Nakano did that. I think actually in the first game of this weekend series, or maybe the second one, one or the other, they're the ones that generated those first couple of runs because of their legs. And one of the throws to second base was errant, which basically turns one base into 2 on a stolen base. So things like that. I mean, that is Hanshin's game. And if they're able to play it, which they weren't doing earlier in the year, it's going to generate more runs, which will generate more wins. And I think like other teams, it puts them in a bit of a bind as well, because they know if they let Chikamoto or Nakano or even Terry Sato on base or Shimada or Kumagai
or
Obata, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we have just got a wealth of wheels, and other teams know that they've got to be really careful about who they let on base. So I think that is making a huge difference in the team's success of late as well.
Totally agree.
And I think too, there is such a thing as just the law of averages. And we lost so many one run games early in the season. I think it's just like it had to even out, or at least it started to even out a little bit. Like in this past fortnight, we won 2 recent one run games. But also earlier in the fortnight, we lost 3 one run games. So I think that kind of stuff just eventually evens out. And again, that comes down to clutch pitching. It comes down to maybe the team generating that one extra run, as was the case against the Giants on Friday night with Oyama's late home run that gave us a 2-run lead that ended up giving us a 1-run victory. So putting those extra runs up on the board definitely help as well.
Yeah, which is why I was happy with our late game additional insurance runs today too.
Yes.
We need those.
Yesterday as well. I mean, I kind of felt like no game is safe until the last out of the 9th inning. You know, I've got a little bit more faith in our bullpen now than I did at the start of the season. But nevertheless, it's still something that we really have to make sure that we, you know, we don't take our foot off the gas ever. We try to get those extra runs when we have the chance to get them. So let me just throw a couple of numbers at you. And this is effective yesterday, not today. But our team ERA currently now sits at 3.56, which is way better than it was. It's still 5th in the Central, but it's quite a bit ahead of the Bay Stars. And we're creeping up closer to both the Dragons and the Swallows. So there is a chance, again, that even though we started the year disastrous, I mean, our ERA could end up being, or pardon me, our pitchers, our pitching staff could end up being the strength of our team. And I think moving forward, we still have some room for growth and improvement. Obviously, getting guys back from injury is going to be key. So guys like Marte, when they come back, or Oyokawa, when he comes back, or if Gunkel, you know, it comes back healthy as well, that's going to make a difference. But I'm even looking at other guys. And one of the guys that has stood out to me, and I don't want to pick on him too much because I like him and I know you love him, is Nakano, who through 31 games has 0 walks.
Yeah, they mentioned that today too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can have, you know, as good an on-base percentage as, or pardon me, as good a batting average as you want. But if your on-base percentage is as low as his is, you know, like I think he's batting 288 or 286, something like that, which is decent. Yeah. But if that's also his on-base percentage, that's all of a sudden very weak looking. So Chikamoto has been able to draw walks a lot more this year than he has in the past, which has been really encouraging. And Sato as well has been doing that. But we definitely need to get guys on base. And then I still think, of course, our wrist needs improvement. It is now. It's still this is, again, as of yesterday. It's still last, but barely. It's 222, though, which is pretty poor. So we need to crank that up a little bit. Right now, the Carp are an unsustainable 310 with runners in scoring position. And that's as of yesterday. They lost today. And I'm assuming they probably had some chances that they didn't cash in on. So I honestly, like, looking forward, and we'll get into predictions in just a little bit here, but I could see this team maybe not continuing this hot streak for too much longer, just simply because we know that, you know, what goes up must come down. And especially with the Tigers, you know, you can't keep them down forever. That's part of our slogan, right? It's the Moko Fukuso, which is like, you can't keep a perched tiger down forever. He's got to pounce when it's time to pounce. But this team, you know, it's not, we're not going to win out the schedule. So there will be losses and there will be slumps. But I personally think if we can get to, say, 5 or 6 games below 500 by Interleague, I think we're in pretty good shape. Speaking of which, there's not that much time until Interleague. We've got 18 games left between now and our first games against the Lions. But that means, like, if we go 11-7 over the next 18 games, we will be 6 games below 500, which I think is a pretty good thing to aim for. And then if we can ride out Interleague 500 or even just a little bit over 500, and if we can get to 500 by the All-Star break, which is the end of July, we're fine. We're fine. We'll be up in the middle of the pack with a chance for a late charge. What are your thoughts on the outlook for the Tigers?
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned that you can't keep the Tigers down forever and what goes up must come down. I'm hoping that RISP is one of those things that rises eventually, because I think that we had 11 left on base at least halfway through the game today. We had 13, 14 hits at the time and 11 men left on base. In the words of Harry Doyle from the movie Major League, we left a small village on the base paths. So if we can improve that, and to your point, I think 11-7 is totally doable before an interleague game. I think 500 by All-Star break would be fine. And remember, we don't even need to be finishing the pennant in the first place. We would need to win the pennant. If we can slide into third or second place, we can still become Nipponichi. We mentioned this before, not to set our goals low, but it ain't even close to being over. So let's go do it.
Nah, I mean, like, we got, what, 112 games left, right? And so something to bring it up to 500 or better in 112 games, it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's totally doable. It's even possible totally that doable. We end the year 10 or more over 500 if the team, you know, just really starts or continues to play some good baseball. I really like what I've seen out of the bullpen. I feel like we've really gotten into a good stretch with Iwazaki as the closer, with Yuasa, as he's been an outstanding setup guy, and I would choose him as one of the pitchers of the month as well, were it not for those other guys. And then Alcantara has settled in nicely to the seventh. And then we've also got guys like Hamachi. He's been very versatile and quite good. And even, you know, our mop-up guys have not been too bad. They haven't even given up very many runs, if any. So loving what I'm seeing from the staff.
I would even take that one step further and ask Yano to be a little quicker in switching to the pen, because when you get 5 good innings from an Ipe Ogawa, you know, on his first start, don't stretch it to 6, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did it with Kirishiki as well. Yeah. And then I think he's gotten smarter, because he pulled Gunkel after 5 and he pulled Akiyama after 5 as well. So maybe he's kind of figured that out as well. You know, not to sit up high on my perch and look down on Yano and say, well, maybe he finally knows what I know. Because if he only knew what I knew, the team would still be like, I don't know, something like 0-30-1 right now. So yeah. Take that, T-Ray. All right. Well, let's do some real quick predicting and looking ahead at the schedule.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen with the record?
So, in all likelihood, will already have played a game by the time you get this. And that is because the first three games coming up are day games because it's Golden Week here in Japan. So we are hosting the Yakult Swallows at Koshien 3rd, 4th, and 5th during the day. And then we go on the road against the Dragons. And two of those three are also day games because it's the weekend. So for those of you who are stateside, you've got a better chance at watching these games if you are a night owl and can stay up a little bit late. And then after those three in Vantaline, we are hosting the Carp, against whom have we won yet? I don't think we have, but they're starting to come down. So this is a good chance.
That's the one team.
This is a good chance. Let's do it. And then we go back to Yokohama and let's do it because we embarrassed ourselves and we ain't going to do that anymore. We are taking them down as well. I think this has the potential to be an outstanding stretch, especially because I think we've found some really good outings out of our rotation. I think the addition of Wilkerson in there on Saturdays has been great. Junya is definitely, I think he's going to get the start next Sunday. So him at Vantaline Dome, I think could also be a great thing because A, it's the Dragons, they ain't going to hit home runs. And B, it's Vantaline Dome, they ain't going to hit home runs. So I would love to see what he can do there. So Aoyagi, Wilkerson, and Junya, I know it's Vantaline, but if we can win all three of those games 1-0, I don't care. They're wins.
That's right.
Anyways, bold predictions about our record during these next 12 games of action.
So you want it bold? I'm giving you bold. We're going 9-3, brother.
Yo, I love it. I love it. I really think that we can get pretty darn close to that because all that takes, I say this, you know, very lightly, but all that takes is a 3-game sweep plus 2-1, 2-1, and 2-1. And I think all of that is possible. I think the hardest of these may even be the Swallows coming up real soon here. And not that they're playing outstanding ball, and they're also without Santana, and their new import still has not arrived. And so they're a little bit shorthanded, but still, they've got Takahashi coming on Thursday, and we don't like him. So I'm going to say maybe we go 2-1 against the Swallows, 2-1 against the Dragons, 2-1 against the Carp, and then we sweep the Bay Stars. How you like them apples? So I'm going to go 9-3 as well.
Love it.
Well, thank you for tuning in to H10. The Tigers are just getting started, folks. I think opening day was Aoyagi's first outing. We don't count that anything before that, okay? If you haven't gotten your fill of the Tigers and news about the Tigers, check us out on Patreon for the exciting benefits. As I said, patreon.com/thehunchingtigers. Go to the website, which is www.thehunchingtigers.com. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Details are all in the show notes. Special thanks to Lemon Music Studio for the theme music and show, the show mixer. Thanks, Sanjay, for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Catch you all next time, everyone. Let's go, Tigers.
Go Hanshin.